Interesting, Eli Weber, 9 o'clock sharp on a Tuesday morning. Sefer Mitzvot number 204, Hashavat Avodah.
Okay. So the good news is that the mitzvah of Hashavat Avodah would be interesting, even if we didn't find any lamdos and any fancy things to say, because it's fascinating. And we could, for weeks, we could just learn the halachos of Hashavat Avodah if we had to, because there's a lot of them. They're all in Chosh and Mishpat in the 270s. We'll get to them at the end. But it's always interesting to see how Pshat and Pasuk and how understanding of a mitzvah and the definition of a mitzvah, how that plays out in Halacha. Let's just start. There's one main source or headquarters for the mitzvah of Hashavat Avodah, which obviously means returning lost objects. And that is in Parshas Ki Tsetse is the main one. Now, if you noticed as we've been doing these, Parshas Ki Tsetse is the main one for almost anything. I would tell you, if there's a halacha that you want to find the psukim for in the Torah and you don't know where to look, look in Ki Tsetse. There's a really good chance that's there. And if not in Ki Tsetse, then you look in Mishpatim. You know, a lot of stuff kind of falls out there, and maybe there's a reason, maybe there isn't.
Any clue how many mitzvot are in Ki Tsetse?
A clue, we can look it up. 74 might be. It's the biggest it's the biggest parsha. It's bizarre, but you know, I think 2/3 of the mitzvot HaTorah are probably contained in like 8 parshios. Right? There are, you know, I think 17, there's certainly 17 parshios that don't have any mitzvot at all. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just the mitzvot HaTorah are not evenly distributed, you know, within Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So let's start with the first set of psukim. Says the Torah, Lo tireh et shor achicha o et seyo nidachim vihitalam tamehem hashev tishivem leachicha. Okay, let's try. Lo tireh et shor achicha o et seyo. You should not see the ox of your friend, achicha, brother, let's say. O seyo, that's from se, or sheep, nidachim. What's nidachim? When you're holech nidach, you're lost. You're wandering. You shouldn't see them lost. Vihitalam tamehem. What's that? To be mitalem is to ignore them. So don't see them and ignore them. Rather, hashev tishivem la'achicha. Rather, you have to return them to your brother. Again, he's the person who lost them. It was lo tiret shor achicha. Rather, hashev tishivem la'achicha. Everybody with me? Now, second pasuk. So, first of all, what does that pasuk say? What's contained in that pasuk from a halachic perspective or from a mitzvah perspective?
You don't ignore.
You're dashing achicha, but more fundamental than that.
You don't ignore the mitzvah.
Correct. But you see here both a prohibition and a positive commandment, right? Lo tireh, right? You're not allowed to vihit alam tamehem. You're not allowed to ignore a lost object. Rather, hashev tishivem lachicha mitzvat aseh. That's the mitzvah of Hashavat Avodah. Okay, now, in some mitzvahs HaTorah, that's all there is. There's a pasuk. This pasuk is pretty clear. I mean, it has some strange words we'll come back to. Pasuk is pretty clear. You shouldn't see your friend's donkey wander off. Rather, you should take it and return it to him. But sometimes, and I couldn't tell you why, but sometimes the Torah decides to play what we would call Torah Sheba'al Peh, or to be a Gemara or a Mishnah, which is to give you more information. Right? There is no rule, as far as I know, as to how much information. I'm telling you, if it was up to me, this might have been enough. The Torah says, you know, don't ignore lost objects, you have to return them. Now the Torah says, but it continues. Ve'im lo karov achicha eilecha ve'lo yidato. Turns out that's not really achicha. What if you find a lost object, but you don't know who it belongs to? Right? The first puzzle was pretty clear. You see your friend's donkey wandering off, okay, so you take it. But what if you don't know whose it is? You find something, you don't know whose it is. Then the din is va'asafto el toch beitecha. Then you take it to your house. Ve'haya imecha ad derosh achicha oto va'hashev oto lo. And you keep it in your house until achicha, this person who lost it, comes to you and claims it, and then you return it to him.
The onus is on the owner.
Well, yes and no. On the one hand, from this pasuk, it sounds like the onus is on the owner, but it wouldn't make much sense. Okay, you here. Let's take an easy example. You're someplace public. All the details raise other halachic issues. I want to ignore them as much as possible, but you find a cell phone. Okay, so then you say to yourself, "Listen, I'm from. I know the psukim. I'm going to take this cell phone home with me. If the owner of the cell phone comes to me, I'll give it back to him." It's pretty unlikely that the owner of the cell phone is going to come back to you if you don't do something about it, right? It could be that that halacha is hidden in the pasuk, which is, okay, under what circumstances would it ever be that the owner of the property would know to come to me? The answer almost certainly is, I take some steps to let people know that I am in possession of a lost phone. Yes?
What about you lose a cow, and I find a cow? Now, it costs me money.
It's too early. We're getting there. I mentioned this last week. I specifically took an example where it doesn't cost any money. You don't have to charge the cell phone. Just put it someplace. It doesn't take up any room in your house. That's the easy case. You're absolutely right. We have to get to that. Now he says, Pasuk Gimel, the Torah, V'chein ta'aseh l'chamoro, V'chein ta'aseh l'simlato, V'chein ta'aseh l'chol abedat achich asher tovad mimeno umitzata. This is the din for donkeys, for clothing, for anything that's lost. Lo tuchal lehitalo. Right, you're prohibited from looking away. So, the first Pasuk was very clear. That laid out the mitzvah of Hashavat Avedah. The second pasuk, I think, was helpful in terms of laying out how it should work. You have to take it to your house if you don't know. What do we learn from this third pasuk? What wouldn't we have known? V'chein ta'aseh l'chamor, v'chein ta'aseh. Wouldn't I have thought it applies to a donkey? It says it in the first pasuk.
It's going to cost you money because.
Okay, but that's in the first pasuk.
Okay,
okay, but then simlato, you might have thought you don't have to take if you find a shirt or a sweatshirt or a pants someplace. You would have thought the halacha wouldn't apply to them. It's important to at least ask the question: what's being included? Maybe we'll come back to this. Maybe we won't. But when we read pasukim, what's being included? Okay, that we wouldn't have known otherwise. This is, as we all know already from having done this for a while, this is a pretty broad presentation for the Torah. Right? Three full-blown psukim with details. It's important to notice that there's much more information here than we often find in psukim. Right? Lo tachsom shor b'disho, that's a pasuk. That's a halacha, that's a parsha, that's everything you get. Here, you get some more. So let's see. And today you have an excused absence because you were saying Hallel because the Duke of Cambridge came. I understand. It's a big day. It's a big day for your type of people.
That didn't take long enough.
No, regular, you didn't say Tachanun, you said Hallel. I know, there's different types. Okay, fine. Let's look in Rashi. Rashi number 2 says, V'hisalamta. What does it mean, you don't see? Kovesh ayin ki'ilu eino ro. I have the same qualification I always make. When we go straight to Rashi, we're skipping Mishnayos and Gemara and all those things, but it helps us, so we cheat. Okay? So what does it mean, v'hita lamta? You see it, and you pretend as if you didn't see it. Right, as if you didn't see it, because you don't want to deal with it. So don't do that. Lo tira v'hita lamta, says Rashi. Lo tira oto. Don't see it and then turn away. V'rabotenu amru pe'amim she'atam mit'alem. Right? V'hit alamtam mehem. Sometimes you can turn away as if you didn't see. Anybody know what we're on to here? What's that din? We mentioned it last week.
Zakein
v'lo lefi chvodo. It means, here, you happen to be Rabbi Riskin. Let's take our regular example. No, you know, well, I was
using. You know, you keep on using him as an example.
I was going to use the Duke of Cambridge, but I'm afraid you're going to tell on me. Okay. Okay. So Rabbi Riskin is 70 years old, as the papal.
75. Heard.
No, 70, I think.
No,
75. That's the MK.
That
so he's 75. So let's assume, although it's not true, let's assume that 75 makes you old. Obviously, it doesn't. But let's assume that it does. And he's also the rabbi of Ephrat. And for some reason, he wears a suit and tie every day. Okay? I can't explain. Now, he's walking down the street, and these kids are playing frisbee, and the frisbee goes under the car. Right? So they're looking for their frisbee. So the din is, let's assume, Rabbi Riskin doesn't have to crawl under the car to get their frisbee. I'm saying.
young.
I'm saying, okay? That's called zakein v'lo l'chvichvodo. That either because you're old, or because you're the chief rabbi, or because. We'll do details of this, but the din of Hashava Saveda is not a blanket din like lulav and esrog, like so, you know. It depends on who you are. It's a situational din. So Rashi says right away the lashon of v'hita alam tamehem. It's interesting. That means pa'amim sha'ata kein mit alein. Okay, let's go on. Now you have to keep it in your house ad dero shachicha until the owner comes and asks for it. So says Rashi again. This is the Gemara. V'chita aleal datcha sheitneu lo kodem sheidrisheu. All I should have asked Hashem. What does it mean? I keep it in my house till the owner comes and asks for it. Well, how else could I give it back to him if the owner doesn't ask for it? How would I know? One second, we're in the middle of a Rashi. Ella darshehu shalo yehe ramai. Part of the din is, when the guy comes and says it's mine, you have to ask him some basic questions to make sure that it really is his. You have an obligation to ascertain, within a certain level, that the person who's claiming ownership really is the owner. Now, how does it happen? How would he know to come to you otherwise? Because you put up a sign. Because in our world, you post it to Ephrat Chat saying, I found a bag, you know, in my car. So a guy comes and says, that's great, I lost a bag. So you're supposed to say to him, great, what color was it? What was in it? Things
Simanim.
Like that.
Simanim.
Huh? Simanim? That's the din.
What did they have in mind then? Did you just tell your friends?
Huh?
What did they really have in mind?
Whatever the method of communication is at a time, there was always ways to communicate. Either announce it in shul, you know. In my yeshiva, there's still a lost and found board, which seems completely anachronistic since everybody's on a WhatsApp list. But, you know, no one wants to take it down. So it feels like a frum thing to do. Let's face it, when you put up a sign, you feel frum. When you send a WhatsApp, you know, it just doesn't have the same. No one's going to gun in for sending WhatsApps. Okay, so you know, it's not the same. Now,
maybe not everybody has a smartphone.
Maybe in your yeshiva. No, no, not everybody in ours does either. But it's a pretty good way to get the word out. Vahashevotolo, you have to give it back to him. Shetehebo hashava. It means that there is some benefit in the return. And this is the drasha that you just mentioned. What does it mean? Shelo yochal bebeito bebeitcha kidei damav v'tit ba'ein mimenu. Okay? You found the guy's sheep. Now, basically, it costs you, I don't know, $10 a day to feed the sheep. At some point, you've spent more money than the sheep is worth. When the guy comes back and says, can I have my sheep? You go, good, yes. Give me $500, I'll give you back the sheep. He said, why? Because that's what I spent. Right? You don't. So you learn something interesting here. Not just in the din of Hashavas Aveda, but you're not required to lose money on Hashavas Aveda. You're not required to spend all this money taking care of the guy's property and then just give it back to him. Okay? Now, that touches on, maybe we'll get this at the end, what about the time element? And what about being paid for the time element? Because there is, you know, sometimes the time you spend putting out the word and taking it to your house, there could be costs associated with that, and that might touch on the issue of whether you can get paid for a mitzvah. We touched on this last week. I'm going to come back to that in a second.
Can you accept a reward?
Huh?
Can you accept a reward?
Yes. I know of no prohibition on accepting a reward. Okay?
You're supposed to, you know, after 10 days, just
send the sheep out.
No, so the din is, let's see, maybe he says it. Mikan amru, kol davar she'oseva ochel, ya'aseva yochal, v'she'eino oseva ochel, yimacher. If you take an animal in, you could use the animal. The animal is basically providing you, you take somebody's ox. So it sounds like you're allowed to use the ox because that pays for the food that you're paying for the ox. When the guy shows up, you give him back his ox. But if you can't use it, so then he doesn't say you kill it. He says sell it. You have the right to sell it. And the money belongs to the owner. So the sign says, you know, I found the sheep, come to my house. The guy comes to your house 2 weeks later, you say, listen, you know, I'm really sorry. I had to sell the sheep because it was costing me too much money. Here's the money I got for the sheep. So, okay, now the guy cries bitterly because Mary was his little lamb and he misses her. But, okay, that's the din. Fine. Let's do one more pasuk because now, this is the headquarters. Again, Kiseitse is the headquarters of Salacha. You can't miss it. It's all kind of fleshed out there. But there's also a pasuk in Mishpatim, your second choice for where these pasukim show up. Source 3, there the pasuk says, Ki tifka sho o yivcha o chamoro toeh, hashev tishivenu lo. Should you find, right, the ox, o yivcha, just you can't miss it. Who's o yivcha?
Somebody who you dislike.
Your enemy, your oyev. Okay?
Which is similar to...
it's exactly like, not, it's not similar, family. We'll come back in a second. Okay? Hashev tishivenu lo. So, you know, everybody needs to ask, it's not the greatest question, because sometimes there are multiple psukim in the Torah, but we dealt with it sufficiently in Kiseitze. Obviously, Kiseitze is later. But, you know, who needs a pasuk in Mishpatim? So now, I want to take a two-minute detour, because I'm fascinated by this, even though I'm sure the facts I'm about to give you are true. What we do with them, it's up to you. I don't come with a great explanation. But when you do these mitzvahs in the Rambam, so I mentioned at the beginning, and I'll mention again, you know, there is no exact explanation for the order of mitzvahs in the Rambam. It's clear that they're done thematically. It's clear that, let's say, the first 10 or 11 are foundational mitzvahs of the Torah, maybe the first 15. But then it just breaks into categories, which makes sense because, as we've mentioned before, the reason the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos was so that he could write the Yad HaChazaka. Right? When he sat down in front of a blank piece of paper, the Rambam more or less says this. You know, imagine the staggering... just what this is. The Rambam sat down in front of a blank piece of paper and he said, you know what, I'm going to start writing Kala Torah Kula. Right? There was nothing, he had no guidelines, nothing to do. So I think what happened was the Rambam realized, whoa, I need some guidelines. So I have to make up my own guidelines. Why don't I first sketch out Tariag Mitzvos so then I could use those as headings to lay out mitzvos beneath them. One second. So, he wasn't the first person to write Tariq Mitzvot, but his Sefer HaMitzvot was intended as kind of the introductory work to the Yad HaChazaka, which was going to be all the halachos of the Torah. So, of course, it makes sense to do it by categories, right? You couldn't possibly, if you wanted to, nor would it be helpful to say, I'm going to rank Mitzvot HaTorah from the number one's the most important to 613, which is the least important. It doesn't work that way, and it wouldn't help him in his purpose. So, there's no question that the Rambam did it by categories. And we all noticed, you know, the last kind of 6 or 7 weeks were what you would broadly call, like, you know, we moved from, let's say, tzedaka to lending money to more like employer-employee, to pensions, right? To paying on time, to your workers working in the field, you have to let them eat, right? All mitzvahs, like, they're all part of categories. Then last week was Prika Uteina, which was kind of moving away. It was loading and unloading. It wasn't really work, but we're now clearly moving into a category in the Rambam of what you would just call Mitzvos Beinonim LaChavero. They're not employer-employee, but they're things that work within society. So for example, next week, I believe, is Hocheach Tochiach, our favorite, right? Giving advice or, you know, correcting people when they act improperly. I think the week after is V'yahavta l'recha kamocha. Now, no, those are two good ones to work together. But the point is, it would be incorrect to think that the Torah isn't also set up thematically. You know, it's not as thematic as we would want, Right? Let's face it. I don't think it makes me not from to say the Torah needed a better editor. It was set up in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be set up. But when I asked you, where's the halacha of, it's not easy. You don't normally know. If there's something relating to the Mishkan, so you probably guess Sefer Vayikra. But beyond that, so now, here's the thing I should have noticed last week. But I didn't. Okay? In Shmos, so last week, we did, again, the mitzvah pre-kutina, which had psukim in Kiseitze, but also had a pasuk in Shvatim. This week we're doing Hashava Saveda, which has psukim in Kiseitze, but also has a pasuk in Mishpatim. But it turns out that's not a coincidence. Here's what it says in Mishpatim. Perek Chaf Gimel. Did I say Chaf Gimel? Yeah. Perek Chaf Gimel. Pasuk Dalet. Okay? Ki sifka sha'o yivcha o chamoro toeh hashev tishivenu lo. Next pasuk. Ki tirech chamor sona'acha rovetz tachat masa'o v'cha daltome azov lo azov ta'azov imo. That's last week's mitzvah. That's pre-kutina. And when you look at it, you can't miss the fact that there's basically, linguistic parallels. Mostly, it's shor o yivcha, and it's chamor sona'acha. That's just interesting. In Mishpatim, and I'm sure we could, something interesting to be said here, we're not going to say it now. Mishpatim seems to be focused on things you wouldn't have done otherwise. You're not excited to do things for the person you hate. You're not excited to do things for the person who's your enemy. Similarly, both psukim have this double lashon, right? Hashev tishivenu lo, and azov ta'azov imo. So this would be interesting, if that's all we had. But then I woke up to the fact that the exact same thing exists in Parshas Kiseitze. We just read Perek Chaf Bet, source 1 is Perek Chaf Bet, Psukim Aleph through Gimel. Okay? Here's the next pasuk. Lo tiret chamor achicha o sharo no flim baderech vehitalam tamehem hakem takim leachicha. Hakem takim means that the mitzvah of Prika Uteina and the mitzvah of Hashava Saveda appear next to each other twice in the Torah. Right? That can't be a coincidence. Okay? So, I'll just say it now because it seems obvious. Broadly speaking, they both must fall into a category of caring for the property of another Jew. Right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be next to each other twice in the Torah. You could say once, okay, we had to put something next to it. But if it appears twice, once in Kiseitze, once in Mishpatim, they're always twinned. So when you ask yourself, what's the motivating factor behind these mitzvahs? This is an argument against what we suggested last week. We thought pre-kotein, loading and unloading, might be kind of a subcategory of not so much v'haftorecha kamocha as the opposite, as being kind animals. Okay? What's that called in Hebrew? I'm sorry, I blanked. Tzar Balei Chaim. This kind of pushes in an opposite direction. But as you say, it pushes more towards v'haftorecha kamocha. But we think of a haftarecha kamocha as being feelings and things you can't put a price tag on. But now the sense you get is no. The haftarecha kamocha includes looking out for the money and the property of fellow Jews. Right? It expands into that category, and then all of a sudden, obviously we'll have to look to see where haftarecha kamocha is in Torah, if it works in the Pesukim, but I can tell you it's showing up in the Rambam soon. And so probably it means that the Rambam saw these as a category. Okay? Fine. Now, let's look at the Rambam finally. Source number 4, Mitzvah Reish Dalet. The Mitzvah is as follows. Says the Rambam, Mitzvah HaReish Dalet, Hu Shetzivanu LeHashiv HaAvedah LeBa'aleh. The Mitzvah is to return the lost object to its owner, V'hu Amaro Yitaleh, Ki Tifka Shor O Yivcha, Hashev Tishivenu Lo. And, Hashev Tishivenu Lo Achicha. The Rambam quotes the Psukim both from Kiteitze and from Mishpatim. Ubabir Amru, the Gemara says, Hashev Aveda Asehu. It's a mitzvah aseh. And it says, Nim Sinu Lemedim, Shu Over Al Aseva Alot Aseh. Okay? The pasuk has within it a lo tase. It's a prohibition to ignore the lost object, and it's a mitzvah ase to deal with the object to return it. Now, we'll have to talk about in a minute. We'll talk about when does the mitzvah start and what's encompassed in the mitzvah. But I think broadly speaking, we've sketched out, you know, what we need. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, well, in Shemot is talking about your enemy, and in Devarim is talking about...
Right.
Okay, they could have been in the same pasuk, or...
Yeah, but they're
okay.
different.
But they're, okay, right.
When you ask yourself, what's Mishpatim adding to Shemot, that's the first thing you
right.
say.
That's
in that in Kisese, it talks about Achicha.
Right.
Achicha usually means Achicha b'Torah v'mitzvot. It means a fellow observant Jew. But it's a pretty narrow term, right? Like Re'acha is a narrow term. Oyivcha, Sona'acha, right? There, you know, it's clearly it's telling us something that we wouldn't have known otherwise. The question I have, which I don't know the answer to, and I'm not going to deal with it now, is, well, if it's Sona'acha, then why use the term Achicha? Achicha is clearly the wrong term. Because Achicha, I would have learned from Achicha, it's only somebody who I'm close to. But from Mishpatim, tells you that's not the case. Mr. Weiser.
I'm a little confused, but the whole covenant is this. Isn't the Torah that he's supposed to announce that he brought find an object?
Yes.
Where does it say
that? Oh, it doesn't say that yet. The answer is it says it in the Gemara. It's brought down by all the poskim. I'm just pointing out that it's hinted to in the pasuk, because you couldn't possibly have a situation where the owner of the cow knocks on your door and says, "I heard you have my cow." How would he have heard it unless you announced it in shul?
Well, how come that it says
right?
That he doesn't know.
Okay, so how's
he supposed to announce?
Correct. How's he going to know? He has to announce.
The Torah doesn't say that he's supposed to announce.
Because so first of all, in the first source, it's more. There's more there. But the second thing is that's why we have Torah Shebaal Peh. Yeah, exactly. Chazal come and say, how would it be? The answer is you have to announce. Yeah.
But the community has a lost and found place. Does that touch you? You just bring it there and they take care of it.
No.
Or do you always have this responsibility?
I don't know. I mean, if it's so obvious that everybody knows this is the place you go if you lost an object. But again, it doesn't exist here because, first of all, it doesn't exist in Efrat. And if you... What?
Our email is full of that.
You email. Bruce is saying...
On the bus.
Again, the mitzvah is to make sure... Part of the mitzvah is to make sure that the person has a chance to reclaim it.
In the Vey Daniel, people lose their children.
Okay.
That's
and you, being a tzaddik, found the child and sold him because you didn't want to have to go to the expense of supporting him. And when the mother comes, you go, "Here's the money." You know, I think your child now lives in Beit Fajar. But
okay. There's a Hansel and Gretel story.
Okay, we're going on. What's the rationale behind the mitzvah? So the Sefer HaChinuch says in source number 5. It's Tav Kuf Lamed Ches in the Chinuch. Shoesh mitzvah zo yadua. And the answer is it is yadua, but it's worth reading. Ki yesh bazet to'elet hakol v'yishuv hamedina. This is the kind of mitzvah that has benefit for everybody. And more than that, yishuv hamedina, it's good for the proper functioning of society. Okay, it's good for a community to have rules like this. First of all, he says, Shehashikha bakol mitsuya. First of all, he says, everybody loses things. This isn't the kind of thing where you go, you know, it's not fair, this is just benefiting the poor people. God forbid. Because everybody loses things. The Chinuch says, no one would question this, because you all lose things. Gam behem tam, v'chol chayatam borchim tamid heina v'heina. Right? My cat once ran away. He says, you know, animals run away. People lose animals all the time. V'im ha-mitzvah hazot shehi ba'ameinu yihiyu nishmarot ha-behema v'ha-kelim b'chol makom shehiyu ba'artzenu ha-kdosha ki'ilu hein tachat yad ha-ba'alim v'chol pikudei Hashem yisharim misam chelev. He says, but with this mitzvah, people will have property returned to them, right? There is a value to protecting Jewish property and to returning it to the owner. And second of all, people will feel better to live in such a society. Right? When somebody does a favor for you, It once happened to me, I posted to the list, you know, about somebody with cables. Right? I didn't have cables, I was stuck. You know, a guy like showed up 5 minutes later. So there's the joy that your car now starts, but then there's like a pride that you live in a community that people do things like this, that people care enough. So I think the Chinuch is saying two things at once. The Chinuch is saying, one, you know, there is a value to property, to money, and taking care of property is a value that we all recognize and it's a good thing to do. Second, it's good for society. It's good for a neighborhood to have people returning things, to have a mechanism by which people can return things. You just, you know, for myself, you just feel better living in that community. Yes, I cut you off.
So why shouldn't it also apply to society?
Okay. So now we're getting into the chinuch. I skipped the words. The chinuch said, "B'chol makom shu ba'artzeinu hakidosha." Now, the chinuch, whoever he was, did not live in Israel. We're sure of that.
Right.
A lot of the halachos of Hashavas Aveda depend on whether you live in a Jewish community or not. The halacha is clear, and here we have to distinguish. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, if you look, you know, there's all these restrictions on when you have to return and under what circumstances. But the last thing the Mechaber says, and I didn't have room to put it on the sheet, the last thing the Mechaber says is, but basically, the more you do this, and for the greater group of people you do it, the better person you are. Meaning, we're not against Hashavas Aveda to Goyim, but the fact is, it's not part of the mitzvah d'oraisa. Okay? One second. But then you get into it, maybe we'll have time to discuss it at the end. The din itself only applies to Jews. So now you have to ask yourself, you know, under what circumstances is it realistic? Right? If you find something, again, we have to go back to Chutzot. You find something at Yankee Stadium. Okay? So then you get home and you announce in shul that I found something.
Right?
Right? So, you know, at some point, it's just, you're going through the motions, it's silly.
Right.
Because that's not a way that's effective. So the din really is that if you find a mitzvah in a place that's mostly Gentiles, these rules don't apply. Because posting it to a list of Jews isn't going to help you. And the more important part, which we haven't gotten to yet, is there's a thing called Yeush. Okay? Once the person is miyash, once the person who lost the object says, that's it, it's gone. I'm never going to get it back.
Down the river.
It no longer belongs to that person. That doesn't mean that it's not a great thing for you to try to return it anyway. But the din is, it doesn't apply, it doesn't belong to that person anymore. Because if you drop a $20 bill in Yankee Stadium, and you get to your car, and you realize that you dropped a $20 bill, you're not doing anything to get it back. Okay? Likewise, if you find a $20 bill at Yankee Stadium, happy birthday. Because, I mean, if you want to be inside, give some of it to tzedakah. But there's absolutely no halachic obligation, or I would think, or even moral obligation. Because it's just a waste of time. It's clear that the $20 bill could have belonged to any one of the 50,000 people. There's no way you're going to get it back. And, you know, why don't you post to the Yankees website, I found $20, you know. Right? There's now... why is that? So part of it is because they're mostly Gentiles. But part of it is because it's not returnable. The same din applies, you know, if in the park here, you know, in Park HaAsor, if you find a 20 shekel bill and that's all there is, honestly, I don't think there's anything you could do. I guess you could post to the list if you want
to
be a real tzaddik.
Give it to
but
tzaddik.
Anybody, okay, but that you can always give it to tzedakah. I'm talking about the din of Hashavas
Aveda.
I'm talking about the din of Hashavas Aveda. I'm not talking about the din of being
a
tzaddik. Again, so let's try to do some examples. Let's try to do some examples. So you find a $20 bill. A, it's crazy that you could find the owner. But B, let's say you post to the list. There's no way you could ever know that the person who's claiming the $20 bill is the owner of the $20 bill. So the whole thing is a complete waste of time. However, if you find a 20 shekel bill and it says, you know, Yom Lelea Hayikara, Yom Huledet Sameach, you know, Savta Esti, so now you got something to go on. right? You could post to the Efrat list and say, I found a 20 shekel bill with the unique message on it.
Right?
Right? Right? Now there's a chance. Okay? Now, what?
I mean, I think the examples in the Torah are never about a piece of silver, assuming they didn't have $20 bills, right?
Yes and no. Yes and no. There are no real examples in the Torah. It says, well, the sim. No. It says, v'chein taseh l'chamer, v'chein taseh l'simlato, v'chein taseh l'chol avedat achicha. But the Gemara goes to town on this. And the Gemara says it depends. So in the Gemara, they have the following discussion. Right. If you find a 20 shekel bill, the Gemara doesn't say this, but it's nothing to do. But what if you find, you know, a bunch of coins piled one on top of the other, right? Or the easier thing, you're in the park and under a bench, you find a wallet and on top of it is a phone. You go, oh wow, this is lost. No, it's not. Somebody put it there, right? You know, we need common sense. And the Gemara talks about this and the Halacha is very clear. When it's returnable, there's also a chance that somebody put it there and plans to come back to take it. So again, if you find a wallet in the middle of the playground, it's probably lost. If you found a wallet under a bench, there's a chance maybe that it's not. Somebody went to play and put it down. But if you find a wallet along with something else under a bench, it means that's where somebody put
it.
You're
not responsible to guard it, are you?
No, absolutely not. Although, once you pick it, that leads kind of the next topic. When does this mitzvah start and what are your obligations once the mitzvah starts? But all of this, there's a lot of it's common sense, but all of it is halacha lemaisa, in which these rules apply. And you know, the broad rules are, it has to have really been lost. The broad rules are, there has to be a chance for you to return it, right? There has to be something identifiable about it, which, by the way, sometimes a stack of money is identifiable, right? The guy forgot it there, it's really lost. But when you post to the list, you can say, I found money, and there's a way for it to be identified. And the person will say, oh yeah, I stacked my, you know. Yes.
Regarding what I mentioned earlier, you could actually keep it as opposed to the part of the mitzvah is to pass it.
It's not part of the mitzvah.
I mean, so you can just keep it.
It's like when you make money.
No, but here you didn't. You know, it fell into your lap.
Great.
Perhaps
so
to give it to tzedakah if you can't find it again.
So, you know, if you're if people are on your spiritual level, no, sir, you know, where you say it must be that God wants me to give this 20 shekels to tzedakah, so go ahead. That's
it's
a great
yours,
thing.
You keep it.
It is yours. Well, I'm telling you the din. You could argue with me, but that's the din. It's yours. Now decide, you know, like, I got this money. It didn't really work for it. It belongs to me. Listen, let me point out the obvious. You can't give tzedakah with somebody else's money. I know, we would all do it. If I could take your money and give tzedakah, I'd be the biggest charitable person in the world. It doesn't work that way. You can only give tzedakah from your money. So it has to be, in order for you to give tzedakah, it can't be part of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. It has to be that you locked out.
When you said about the guy, what about to return things, because if you lost something, you want the guy to return it to you?
So you hope that he's a nice person.
No, just in other words, you know, like you do things the way, you know, from a halal shabbos, Dr. Belvedere.
Yeah, for sure. We do think you should give back. You should do Hashem's way to going for Darchi Shalom. We think it's a really good idea. It's just not part of the mitzvah. Now, let's learn a little bit. When does the mitzvah start? Says the Rambam in source number 6. Hashev aveda li Yisrael mitzvat aseh. To return a lost object to a Jew is a mitzvah aseh. Shenema hashev teshivem la'achicha. Veharoe avedat Yisrael. Venitalei mimena. If you see a lost object and you ignore it, v'hinicha, and you left it there, over b'lo tase. In addition, you're in violation of a biblical prohibition, lo tase shenemar, lo tiret shor achicha v'hit alam tamehem, and in addition, u'batel mitzvah tase. And you mevatel mitzvah tase, but v'im heishiva kiyem mitzvah tase. If you return it, okay, you got a mitzvah tase. When does the mitzvah start according to the Rambam?
Oh, so
I bolded the word, so you couldn't miss it.
When you see it.
When you see it. That's, you know, that doesn't give you much leeway. Mm-hmm. Because, like, what can you do? You saw it. Right? You're stuck. Look at Rashi. Rashi in the Gemara says, Ove mishum hashev tishivim, aval hashev tishivim ika mishen natal ad she yeshivana. When does it start for Rashi? Mishen natal. When you picked it up. So it seems like for Rashi, Now, the problem with Rashi, the problem with both shitas, and we don't have enough time to go into it, but the problem with both, the problem for Rashi is the pasuk, where the pasuk says v'hitalam tamehem. Well, how am I mitalem? I saw it, right? That's the problem for Rashi. For the Rambam, there's a bunch of problematic gemaros because the gemara talks about again, if what happens if you see it, but you go, you know what? I don't want to take it yet because if I take it now, there's a mitzvah hashavas aveda. But if I wait a day, the guy will realize he lost it. Yes. He'll be miyaesh. He'll give up on it. Then I could take it and actually own it. So you don't get olam haba for this, but it is the din. So there the Gemara says you could do that. You shouldn't. You know, you're still mevatel the mitzvah lo taseh of lo titalem, but you're not mevatel the mitzvah taseh. So there the Gemara sounds like it only starts from when you pick it up. Okay, there are sources for either. There's a famous Reb Chaim, which we'll talk about in a second, which might explain some of this, but first let's read the Rambam, and then I'll try to explain. The Rambam says, in that same parak, parak Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel of Hilchos Gezeila Va'aveda, by the way, the Rambam's categorization system works for the Rambam, but some of it is arbitrary. But when the Rambam puts two things together, so you know at least he sees them as connected. So for example, I once heard somebody make fun of a person who had a whole Dvar Torah on why the Rambam puts the laws of war in Hilchos Malachim. Okay? But the fact of the matter is the Rambam didn't put the laws of war in Hilchos Malachim. He put the laws of war in a book called Hilchos Malachim Umilchamtehem. That's the name of the book. So the Rambam was already saying, I see these things connected, but they're not exactly the same. So one day you'll say to me, wow, I have a great thing to say on why the Rambam puts the laws of Hashavas Aveda in Hilchos Gzela. So the answer is he doesn't. It's called Hilchos Gzela Va'aveda. Now, he didn't put two things, you know, the Rambam doesn't put Hilchos Machalas Asuras and Hilchos Gerushin together, because they're different things. On the one hand, he sees Aveda and Gzela as being, you know, part of a continuum, but they are two different things because he does call the book by two different names. Here we go. Says the Rambam, Matzah Sak O Kupa. Okay, you saw, let's say, not one of the fancy Rami Levy bags, but the old cheapo ones that you have to pay like 10 agurot for. Okay? Or a basket. Ima Yachacham O Zakein Mechubad. She'ein darko litol kelim elu biyado. Let's go to the Rabbi Riskin example. You know, it's a dirty bag. So he's not the kind, you know, he's wearing a three-piece suit. He's not the kind of person who carries around the dirty shopping bags. So, eino chayav litapel bahem. That's halacha we saw already. Right? Why? Because he's zakein ve'eino lefi chvodo. Now you'll ask the question. How do you know? Right? You know, how do I know that I'm really a zakein ve'einenu lefi chvodo? How do you know? So the Rambam says as follows. Va'omed et da'ato. You measure or you contest his thought on the topic. How do you do it? The question is simple. Ilu hayu shalom. Im hayam machzirin la'atzmo kach, chayav la'achzir shel chavero. V'im lo hayam mochel al kvodo, afilu hayu shalom. Kach b'shel chavero eino chayav la'achzir. What's the din? Let's come back to the Rabbi Riskin example and the frisbee under the car. How do you know? Well, if it was Rabbi Riskin's frisbee and he would have crawled under the car to get it, then he has to crawl under the car for somebody else's frisbee. Right? If he would have picked up, you know, the dirty Rami Levy bag after it fell in the dirt and carried it home, then he has to do it if he finds it. But if you wouldn't do it for yourself, then you don't have to do it for others. So that what it does is it narrows, but it also expands the concept of zakein ve'ino lefi chvodo. Because the answer is it applies to all of us. If we wouldn't do it for ourselves, then we don't have to do it for others. And maybe it narrows it, you know, by wealth standards. It could be. You're such a rich guy that, you know, once something falls on the floor, you don't pick it up ever. Now, how flexible is this standard? So the Rambam continues. Last word on the third line. Hayad darko lahachzir kelim ka'elu basadeh ve'ein darko lahachziran be'ir. Now the Rambam introduces us to something else. It might depend on where you are. Even for you, It might be that out in the field, when let's say you're wearing overalls and you're working in the field and you get dirty anyway, so you would climb under a car, right? You would pick up something from the dirt because you're in the field and you're dirty, and maybe because nobody's looking, so it's not embarrassing. So then he says, then you have to do it in the field. But mitza'an basadeh chayav lahachziran ad sheyagiyu lirushut habaalim va'af al pi shehari nichnas bahen le'ir ve'ein darko b'kach. Okay, now, what's going on? Says the Rambam, this is the din. If it's the kind of thing that you would have picked up for yourself in a field, then you have to pick it up for somebody else. But you wouldn't have to pick up that object in the city unless that's the kind of thing you would pick up in the city. So the first thing is, I think this introduces, you know, a lot of variables, including it might, although I'm not sure, I just didn't have enough time to research it, it might depend on the day of the week and what you're wearing. Right? If you're walking to shul, it could be that you don't pick dirty things up. You wouldn't pick them up for yourself. You don't have to pick them up for others. But on a Friday, you might. So I think the halacha really is, in this moment, in this place, how would you react if it was yours? And if you would react that way if it was yours, you have to react that way for a lost object. The problem is the end of this Rambam, where the Rambam says, okay, now, you pick up this dirty, smelly, you know, bag in the field. But now, let's say it's great. It has somebody's name on it and his address. Okay? He lives at, you know, number 11, Rehov Halamed Hay. It's not my address.
Right.
I changed it. I live on Rehov Halamed Hay, but I didn't want to say the number because I don't want people showing up. I'm fine. Fine. So now it's clear, right? It's clear that the din is you have to return it. But all of a sudden you get to Efrat and now you're humiliated because you're carrying this horrible, smelly, it's embarrassing to you. And had this object been lost in Efrat, you never would have had to pick it up to begin with. Right? You only picked it up because it was outside of Efrat. So says the Rambam, I'm sorry, you got to give it back.
I think 11 is Rosenberg.
One second.
Lawyer, you better give it back.
You got to give it back. I think it might be the Orens. He's a Talmud Chacham, so
Rosenberg,
be careful.
Rosenberg.
No, you made that up.
Lawyer.
What are you talking about?
This movie, he bought Susan Leibowitz's house.
Yeah, that, well.
This guy is a font of gossip. It's unbelievable. He's like Yentl of Ephraim.
You find a lawyer's list, you better give it back.
That's unbelievable. Okay, maybe the Orens. Go to Halacha Yudah, then we'll come back. V'chein, says the Rambam, im matza behema v'hi kisha. You found an animal, I think v'hi kisha is it bit you. Okay, something bad happened. Now, clearly you would never take responsibility. You would never, you know, it's not lefichvotcha to, oh, you see a wild dog, like one of those scary wild dogs that exist in Efrat, so you go, oh, it must be lost, I'll take it. Of course you're not going to take it. You wouldn't take it if it was yours. It's terrifying. Okay? Now you took this, what looked like a nice dog, but then it bites you. So you don't want to deal with it anymore. Says the Rambam, nitchayev lehitapel ba ulahachzira. Af al pi she'ena lefichvodo, shehare hitchil b'mitzvah. Everybody with me? That's the din. Now, here's the problem. The problem is, the Rambam said that the beginning of the mitzvah is when you see it, not when you take it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have two Rambams that sound like that's not true. That it's only when you take it. You know, if you decided to take it in the field, now you... So comes along Reb Chaim and he says a very important yisod, which plays out in many areas and is very helpful here. Reb Chaim, as was his way, said there are two dinim in Hashavas Aveda. The first is the technical mitzvah. Says the Rambam, the technical mitzvah begins when you see the object. Okay, you now have a mitzvah aseh when you see the object to pick it up and return it if it's returnable. That's the narrow definition of the mitzvah. Not even the narrow definition. That's the technical mitzvah. But says Reb Chaim, the Rambam realizes there's something else. Once you take an animal into your house, once you take something into your possession, it's not just hashavat aveda. Now you have what's called the general rules of mamonos, right? You have, you know, let's say the obligations. There's a big machlokas. is a person who takes a lost object, is he a shomer sachar or a shomer chinam? But either way, he has some kind of, he's a shomer, right? So for example, if you found an animal and then you took it into your house, you did all these things, and then you put it back outside and it ran away, you're obligated for that animal because you abrogated.
Before you could sell it, but not, but that's different.
Yeah, that's the different. Money goes back. You abrogated your obligations, okay? This is Reb Chaim, the Rambam has a separate category. Not just the technical mitzvah, but once you take it. Once you take it, now you get to Efrat and you go, it's beneath my dignity to carry this smelly bag around. Says the Rambam, too late. It's not just the din and hashavas aveda now. Now you're responsible for this bag. If you put it down and the guy never gets it back, you've stolen or you've done something irresponsible.
You couldn't.
And so once you start, so it's true, you would never have to take this dog into your house. Because it's lo lefich voltcha, you're not responsible for taking care of dogs. But once you take it, right, now a separate rule, a whole bunch of separate rules apply. Now you're obligated monetarily because you took responsibility for this thing. And so it's not midin hashavas aveda, it's midin dine momenos, it's midin shomrim that obligate you.
Could you post it and get away with not having to actually
no, because the thing is moving. I saw a sheep in front of my house, you know, this morning.
No,
by
up,
now it's in a it's
I
in El Azhar.
So
the Rambam says no. The Rambam says no. I understand your suggestion. Yeah. The Rambam says no. Now, this two pronged approach might be the shot in this next Ramban. It might not be. Says the Ramban on our pasuk in Kitei, "Lo tirat shochicha o tzayon idachim zo mitzvah mevoeret." That's clearly the mitzvah. Shamar b'Torah ki tivgasha o yivcha o chamarot toeh hashem tishivenu lo. Vahosif bekan lemor nidachim or ki toeh shetaami darko v'yachol lahatoto haderech b'lo amal gadol. Says the Ramban. I'll explain it outside. Flip over. Look at the two psukim. In Dvarim, it says Lo tiret shorachicha oet sayon nidachim. Nidachim means lost. Okay, but in Mishpatim in 3, it says Ki tifkasha o yivcha o chamorot toeh. Toeh, he says, is something less than lost. It's wandering. It might even be before. There's technically the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Mashal Mahadavar Dome. Okay? You're at the Israel Day Parade. You'll have to bear with me because this really happened. Okay? Now, it's very crowded. So, you know, you could see families. You know, you see the parents and you see the kids. And you see the girl, the little girl, who's like 5 years old. And she's kind of 10 feet away. Is she lost? Maybe not. But now she starts wandering down the block. Okay? So what do? You're from. You go, I don't think she's lost yet. You know, I'll wait another 2 blocks. Right? Then she'll really be lost. Then I'll have a mitzvah. You know, then I'll do it. So the Ramban says there were really 2 types of Hashavas Aveda. One is, it's not even yet an Aveda. Right? You know, you see your neighbor's dog, and you know that the dog, they're always worried that it's going to run away, and you know it's walking past your house. It's kind of on the block. Is it really lost yet? No, but the Ramban says, the Pasuk in Mishpatim says you should intervene now, right? You should intervene now before it becomes really lost. When when your phone goes and it's music, it's fine. But when my shear isn't good enough, you're listening to another shear while you're here.
Yeah,
that's like slapping me in the face. Okay. On the other hand, what kind of tzaddik has the ringer be a shear? That's pretty unbelievable. Okay, so there seems to be 2 categories. You know, in the Rambam, it's I saw it. That's the mitzvah. I picked it up. Now I'm really monetarily obligated. In the Ramban, it's the thing is wandering. I'm not sure yet that it's lost, but that's what the Pasuk in Mishpatim is telling me. You know, you should do that.
What's interesting is that the Torah relates to the Oedat
Yeah. Yes, I wish I had something to do with that. I agree with you completely. The point is, right, the you know, it's not yet lost and it belongs to your enemy and then you're supposed to intervene. Don't know. I wish I knew what to do with that. Let's look quickly at some halachos. Again, there's tons of this. We could spend weeks learning the halachos of Hashavas Aveilus. Let's just try to quickly some. Source 10. Reish Nun Tes in Choshen Mishpat. Haroeh Avedat Yisrael. Again, that's clear. It just applies to Jews. Chayav li tapel ba lahashiva leba'aleha. Here, the Mechaber passes like the Rambam. It's Haroeh. When you see it, you're obligated to give it back. Shneva Hashem Tishivim. Vim nitalam al minat legozla. Okay? You're not that religious. And you go, I know this is a lost object, but you know, I'm just going to, there's a phone, I'm going to take it. I can get it unlocked, you know. So he says, Vim nitalam al minat legozla. Va'adayin lo nitya ashu habalim mimana. But the owner hasn't given up hope.
Well,
okay?
How do you know that?
You don't know. That's the din. Now, how do you apply it is a different question, but the din is the din. Over mishum hashev tishivim la'achicha. Now you're in violation of you're not returning a lost object. Umishum lo tigzol. You're in violation, you stole. Umishum lo tuchali talem. And obviously you're mevatel the mitzvah saseh of doing the mitzvah. Now, interesting. Va'afilum yachzir na'achakach. Now you feel bad that you stole it. So you actually return it. Kvar avar alo tuchali talem. You already were over on the lo tuchali talem because you ignored it originally and you stole it. Now, look at the interesting cases. Nitala lifnei yeyush al dat lahachzira. Okay? You took it with intent to return it while the person hasn't given up yet, which is great. You can do the mitzvah. Ula'acha yeyush nitkaven legozla. But then 2 weeks go by, you post whatever. Then you go, you know what, I'm not going to give it back. I'm going to steal it. Over, eino over ela mishum hashev tishivim. You're only mevatel the mitzvahs of not returning it. But you're not in violation of lo tigzol. Because when you picked it up, you didn't plan to steal it. Himtin aracha yeyush v'natla. This is the slimy case, right? You see the wallet in the park. So you just wait a couple of weeks till you figure the guy's given up. Now you take it.
How do you know?
Huh? You don't know. That's Bruce's question. We could work on things. Eino over elamishum lo tuchali talem. You're not in violation of anything other than the fact that you didn't that you saw it and you didn't pick it up to return it to him, but you didn't steal it. Now, question. How do you know? Right. So of course you don't know. You can only do this by broad categories. I think this is, let's put it this way. Let's say you lost money. The second you realize you lost money, you're miyash, right? I think that's almost instantaneous. I think if you drop your wallet, it depends on what's in the wallet, right? Depending, if you drop your wallet in Yankee Stadium, so let's be clear. I think the cash that's in the wallet, you could say goodbye to. But there could be somebody, you know, your name is in it, you know, your license is in it, maybe with respect to those things. There's no value in stealing them, right? There could be a distinction. I think we've gotten to a stage with cell phones around here that you really have a good hope. Right? There's really a good hope because it's your phone and there are ways of tracking it down and maybe he couldn't use it anyway. Right? It depends. You lose, let's say you lose something in a tramp. Right? Maybe you have a better shot at not being liaish because, you know, depending on who. Of course, if you tramped on Highway 6, probably you're miyash right away because, right, if you tramp within Efrat, so there's a good chance. I think each time you have to ask yourself the question. And it doesn't change the fact that Torah always wants you to give it back. The better question is, I've had it for 6 months. At what point is it clear that this isn't happening?
I had a guy left an umbrella in my car. 4 months later, I picked him up. He found his umbrella under the seat.
And what did the Duke say to you? Because who has umbrellas except for Brits? Nobody else has umbrellas. Sif bet. Bamedvar mamurim. Let's see how much. Right. By the way, that's also a good thing, which is it could be that Pesach kind of serves as when you leave something someplace, right? Everybody knows Pesach they cleaned up. If I didn't get it back after Pesach, I'm never getting it back. Let's see how quickly. This is going to be hard. We'll try to just knock a bunch of things. Sifbet. Obviously, it only applies when you have to give it back. Meaning, Again, this hints to all these halachas that we're not going to do. Has to be a place where it's mostly Jews for the halacha to apply. It has to be something, okay? Ubamakom shera'uy listapek baba aveda. It has to be a place where somebody actually thinks he might get it back. Ushitei binyan shemuchach shehi aveda. It's left in a way that makes it clear that it was lost and not left there. Vishalot yeh midas. It wasn't put there intentionally. Vishyeh bashavet pruta. It has to be worth it for everybody, right? It has to be worth money. You don't give back, you know, a piece of bamba. Vishyesh siman bigufa obimakoma. There's some identifiable characters, something identifiable on it. Vishyeh metapel ba'im haita shalo. It has to be of the type of thing that you would care if you lost it, and you would pick it up. Vishitiyesh shel mi shechayav lashiv aveidoto. Now, how would you know that? I don't know, but again, if you live in a place that's mostly Jews, so you'd be chayav. Aval im chaser achad mikaleilu eino chayav lashiv aveidoto. Last thing, aveidat karka gam ken chayav lashiv. What does that mean? How could you lose property? How could you lose a field? She'im ra'a mayim ba'im lishtov sedeh chaveiro chayav lidor bifnehem kidei lahatzil. If you see, interesting, you never think of it this way. Yeah. If you see your neighbor's hoses on and it's flooding his backyard, it's a din of Hashavas Aveda to shut off the water. Why? So here's where you see. Because Hashavas Aveda is really, at core, a din mamon, a halacha. It's ben ola chaveiro, but it stands for the fact that you have to care about the money of another Jew, so you have to shut off. Okay, we cut this for a week. We did our best.
Thank you, Brother Weber.